This is Fresh Air. We've brought together four members of Monty Python's Flying Circus on today's show. Michael Palin has said the group is unlikely to reunite because Python wouldn't be Python without Graham Chapman. Chapman died in 1989. In addition to being an inspired comic writer and actor, Chapman was a trained physician and a gay rights activist. We're going to hear an excerpt of the interview I recorded with him in 1987. First, a classic Python sketch.
I'd like to have an argument, please.
Certainly, sir. Have you been here before?
No, I haven't. This is my first time.
I see. Well, do you want to have just one argument, or were you thinking of taking a course?
Well, what is the cost?
Well, it's £1 for a 5-minute argument, but only £8 for a course of 10.
Well, I think it would be best if I perhaps started off with just the one and then see how it goes.
Fine. Well, I'll see who's free at the moment. Mr. DeBakey's free, but he's a little bit conciliatory. Ah, yes. Try Mr. Barnard, room 12.
Thank you.
What do you want?
Well, I was told outside that...
Don't give me that, you snotty-faced heap of parrot droppings!
What?
Shut your festering gob, you tit! Your type really makes me puke, you vacuous, coffee-nosed, malodorous pervert!
Look, I came here for an argument. I'm not going to just...
Oh, I'm sorry, but this is abuse.
Oh, I see. Well, that explains
Yes. You want room 12A, just along the corridor.
Oh, thank you very much. Sorry.
Not at all.
Thank you.
Stupid git.
That was Graham Chapman dishing out the abuse. I asked Chapman if his early sketches with Monty Python were considered too risque or eccentric.
Well, the BBC, to begin with, didn't like us very much, which was actually strangely in our favour, because they put us out at a very unpopular hour of the evening, late on a Sunday night, which is not a top slot in Britain. Also, they frequently preempted us with important things like horse show jumping. They generally didn't rate us very highly, which was good because that meant they didn't even bother to read the scripts. So that meant we could do more or less as we wanted. It wasn't until towards the end of the second series of programmes that they began to realise that we were picking up quite an audience. And then, of course, they began to read the scripts, and that did lead to one or two problems. Naughty words, really. Just silly, childish, naughty words that they would find objectionable, I suppose, because they probably had a problem with their early toilet training, the BBC.
That must be it.
Yes, I think so. Found sensitive areas. But we had then a sort of precedent to point to. We could say, but we said that in programme 3 or whatever, and they would listen to it and found out that we had, and they had no complaints. And so, you know, we could say, we can say it again then.
I think that there's a lot of British humour and Monty Python-type humour that a lot of Americans don't necessarily get because the language is so different?
Yes, I suppose there are. Although we were quite fortunate in that respect, in that during the whole TV series, we tended not, on the whole, to use topical humour. So that has meant that it is relatively timeless, at least, although there obviously are one or two specific things that that will be pretty meaningless now.
Well, what's your collaborating method when you are working together?
John and I wrote together, Michael Palin and Terry Jones wrote together, Eric wrote on his own, and then Terry Gilliam did all the animations and the visual side of things.
So would you lock yourself up in a room and try to write sketches together?
Yeah, well, John and I would just meet up and sit there for an hour or so, trying to avoid work at all costs, drinking cups of coffee and reading the newspapers, talking about what was in the news, maybe. Anything to put off that awful moment of having to put something on paper. And then, about an hour before lunchtime, we'd begin to feel guilty that we hadn't done anything, and at that point we would hopefully think of something which had either occurred during that first hour or so, or if not, then in desperation open up Roger's Thesaurus and simply look at a collection of words to see if that inspired anything, which it sometimes did.
I'll bet it did, because so many of your sketches were wordplay, and it wasn't logical, but it was hysterical.
Look at the cheese shop sketch, for instance.
Oh, and the cheese
almost
dancing.
Almost directly from Roger's Thesaurus.
What did you look up that led to that?
Well, we were into cheeses anyway, so we simply looked at that point. We liked the idea of a shop which contained absolutely nothing that it claimed it sold, which is just a minor exaggeration of the way some British shops are. So that was what we were getting at, I think, and decided on cheese as being the comestible in point, and so just looked up a whole list of cheeses in Roger, added a few, and there it was.
Gouda?
No.
Edam?
No.
Caithness?
No.
Smoked Austrian?
No.
Japanese Sage Derby?
No, sir.
You do have some cheese, do you?
Of course, sir. It's a cheese shop, sir. We got...
No, don't tell me. I'm keen to guess.
Fair enough.
Wensleydale.
Yes?
Ah, well, I'll have some of that.
Oh, I thought you were talking to me, sir. Mr. Wensleydale, that's my name.
Greek feta?
Not as such.
Gorgonzola?
No.
Parmesan?
No.
Mozzarella? Pepper crema? No. Danish...
When you're a comic writer and you're writing with a collaborator, do you laugh at each other's funny lines?
Yes, and also laugh together, too. I mean, there's one whole sketch when John and I, we perhaps had gone a bit too far, but we felt guilty about it while we were writing it, which made us laugh hysterically. And that was the Undertaker's sketch. I mean, perhaps we had gone too far. You know, people taking their dead mothers into Undertakers in a sack, you know, it's on sort of tricky ground, isn't it?
And then they had to decide if they were going to burn them...
Bury them or dump them.
Yes.
That made us feel guilty, I suppose, because all the time we were thinking of our own dear mothers, and it is a bit far to go, isn't it?
Well, this is a real serious issue, I think. If you're writing humour like that, do you want your mother to hear it?
No, you don't. Fortunately, with John and I, we did frequently, I suppose, really think of our own mothers when we were writing sketches. John always used the excuse that it was my mother, and I always used the excuse that it was his, and they seemed to believe that quite satisfactorily.
Graham Chapman recorded in 1987. He died 2 years later. Next week, the movie Fierce Creatures opens, reuniting the team that made A Fish Called Wanda, including former Pythons John Cleese and Michael Palin. It also stars Kevin Kline and Jamie Lee Curtis. Here's a clip from the film. John Cleese plays a zoo director. In this scene, he's looking at the animals with Jamie Lee Curtis, who plays a high-powered executive for the multinational corporation which has just acquired the zoo. As they talk, she takes off her jacket, revealing a low-cut blouse.
Look, can I ask you something?
Sure.
I know we're not making 20% yet, but some of the marketing devices are a bit crude.
Yes.
Because, you know, the keepers and I were...
Oh, look at them. Aren't they gorgeous? Oh, they just make you want to fondle them.
Oh, yes. Yes, I see what you mean. Yes.
Is this one your favorite?
Yes, I like him best of of all the small mammals. Mammals!
Sorry.
Yes, his name's Rollo, actually.
Really?
Mm. Yeah, so I sort of feed him some little special titbits. Tidbits. Keep making boobs. Anyway, he just loves his nuts.
Does he?
Fierce Creatures opens next week. We're very excited about a concert we have coming up next Thursday, so I want to give you some advance notice. Clarinetist Don Byron and his band will be playing selections from his new CD, Bug Music, featuring music by Duke Ellington, John Kirby, and Raymond Scott, whose loony compositions were used in a lot of classic cartoons. To give you a preview, let's hear a track from Byron's CD, Bug Music. This is a piece that came out of the John Kirby Band, which in the 1940s played jazz versions of several classical war horses. This is called Bounce of the Sugar Plum Fairies. Thank you. That was a track from Don Byron's new CD, Bug Music. He'll perform music from the CD next Thursday on our show. Coming up, a review of Woody Allen's new movie. This is Fresh Air.